33 trillion gallons of water has been dumped on southern Texas. 33 trillion, they said. The cost of that alone is over $198 billion that they are estimating now. If you don't think that will affect this Northeast, you're wrong. That doesn't include what's going on in Florida right now. That doesn't include the fires that are raging in California. That doesn't include the 40 million people who have been displaced by floods in Bangladesh and India right now. Right now, what's going on? That doesn't include the cost of what's happening in Mexico with an 8.3 mega earthquake. Do you think maybe somebody is trying to tell us something? We can ignore it, and that's what happens a lot of the time when these things go on. People look at these things and say, well, that was Florida, that's in Mexico, that's in California, that's in Texas. It's not affected. We live in the Northeast. We're blessed. Do you remember King Hezekiah? King Hezekiah, the prophet, went to him one day and said, hey, Kingy, get your stuff in order, you're going to die. The Bible says he turned his face to the wall and he cried out to God. God turned to the prophet and said to the prophet, go back and tell him, because of your crying out to me, because of your prayers and your crying out to me, he said, I relent. You have 15 more years. But then he said, this is what's going to happen in that time. And he pronounced things that are going to be bad for the nation and for his children. And King Hezekiah said something at the end of that. He said, well, at least in my time we will have peace and prosperity. He didn't care about the others. He only cared about himself. And a lot of the time, that's what the church is like. A lot of the time, we just ignore what's going on around us because it's not affecting us personally. But when Kevin hurts, when Jade hurts, when someone else in here hurts, the whole body suffers. Now, if you're not part of the body, you don't suffer with them. If my little finger's hurting, and you're not loving me and caring about how I feel, then you're not affected by that. But if you love me and care about me and part of me, and you look to me and you pray for me and you're looking for me, then you're going to be concerned when even my little finger hurts. Because it's going to affect you. But if you're not part of it, we just all about me. And in the end, when the storm comes and it seems like nobody else cares, maybe there's a reason why. I'm just saying, just maybe. Amen? There has to be that unity, as we heard our sister say. There has to be things going on that we get involved in. You know, we had a work day yesterday. People got involved in fixing up the building and the property out here, filling potholes and fixing things. And when they got involved in that, it became part of who they are. Every time you do something for the kingdom of God out of an unselfish motive, something happens. You become part of something greater than yourself. But when we hold it and it's all about us, then things go on around us, like Hezekiah said, well, at least in my house we have peace, we got prosperity, we got all the way, we know it. And that's sad, because in the end we pay the price for it, because when the storm comes, we are all by ourselves. And then when we turn to God for help, God says, where were you when I needed your help to help them? But God is good. All the time. Amen. So what we're doing now is we're saying, okay, Lord, as we said or heard this morning, unity, we heard how God is blessing us and showing us the way to get right, because when the storms come, we don't want to be out there all alone. And the boat, when the disciples were out on the sea with Jesus in the boat, and Jesus was sleeping in the back of the boat, and the storms came, and the winds came, and they were starting to sink. The disciples turned and woke Jesus up and said, "Hey, Lord, don't you care that we're about to die?" Anybody ever feel that way? Like God doesn't care whether what's going on in our lives? Are you sleeping up there? Can't you see what I'm going through down here? Don't you care that I'm going through all of this down here? Come on. You're my very present help in time. And that's a nice saying because it came out of the Word of God. But is He? Is He? If He's our very present help in time of need, fear has no power over us. Cares of this world, no power over us. None of that stuff matters. Whatever goes on, He's my present help. There's something Jesus said to His disciples. He said, "If you abide in Me, My word abides in you. You can ask My Father anything and He'll do it for you." How many of us can literally say that's true? That I can go to My Father anytime I want and I can ask for anything I need and He supplies it for me. And my God is not a God who sits there and says, "Yeah, I see you need money to get gas in your car, but you know what? I'm going to let you wait a week or two before I give it to you." No, I need it today to get to work, Lord. I need it today to get over and help somebody else who's in time of need. I got to get over there and help them. God says, "All right, now meet your need because you're looking to someone else to supply it, not for your own selfish motives." So anyways, storms come and storms are raging even now around us. They're raging down there in Florida. They're raging all over the world. Someplace, somehow, something's going on. We look at things and we wonder. I broke it down into some categories. And I said, first of all, I made the category of this: forecasting the impending storm. Forecasting the impending storm. For weeks, they were forecasting what was coming. For thousands of years, God has been forecasting what's coming. Before Christ, with Christ, since Christ. God has raised up prophets in the world, even here in the United States, speaking words of warning about impending storms coming, and people don't take no heed of it because they don't want to hear negative things. Well, that's what happened in the nation of Israel. The prophets came and warned them. When they were in for the nation of Israel at that time, they were full of prosperity. They had everything was peace around them. Everything was going great. For 70 years, the prophet yelled out, "Get ready for the impending storm that's coming." And people got tired of listening to him. People got tired of hearing negative reports. And they said, "Listen, just prophesy to us good things. I don't want to hear negative things anymore." So Jesus warned them and said, "Listen, in the last days, they will search out people who will tickle their ears because they don't want to hear what's about to happen." We have the same people. People who don't want to hear the truth. They live in their own world and pretend it's not real. They've been forecasting that storm in Florida for what? 2 weeks, a week? At least a week, not longer. Been telling him it's coming, get ready. "Well, it's not going to be over near me, so I don't have to worry about it." So no preparation. And that's the next thing. If you hear a forecasting, what are you preparing for? Are you preparing? I call it storm preparation. Are you preparing for the storm coming? By the grace of God and the hope that we have in Christ and His Word, we're believing that before any storm truly hits us, any bad things truly hits us, we're out of here and the rapture happens and we're gone. Isn't that wonderful? Tell that to the people in Texas who are a lot of Christians down there. There's a lot of Christians in Texas right now whose house is underwater and don't have flood insurance because they never thought their house could be flooded. They're not in the flood zone. Good Christians. Don't tell me none of those people down there that got flooded out aren't Christians. They must have been all sinners. Not so. Good, strong Christians. Are we prepared for a storm coming our way? Well, we're not going to get flooded out. Okay. There's ways. So storm preparation is important. How about provision in the storm? Is that important? Are you sure? Have you got provision already? Because if you are looking, and listen, I am not talking about your whole life is looking for bad things to happen. I'm not saying that. I'm saying be wise enough to know that bad things happen. Jesus, throughout the scriptures, talked about getting ready for the coming disasters that are going to happen. He warned them over and over. Matter of fact, some of his last teachings were on getting ready for what's coming. When he stood there and said, listen, in 3 days, this temple would be torn down and built back up. They didn't understand it. They thought he was talking about the temple. He warned about the temple being not one block of the temple left standing. And they all thought, you're nuts, you're crazy. Matter of fact, that's one of the things they brought up when they brought him before the Sanhedrin. They said, hey, this guy's talking about tearing down the temple here. 70 years later, not one stone of that temple stood. It took 70 years. Now, how many think you believed it? They remember what Jesus said, and they were looking, preparing for this to happen. It says at the time when the Romans invaded into Israel to tear down this stuff and really tear it all apart and everything was talking apart, it said that the church of Jesus Christ had moved out of the area. Remember when he was talking about how in Acts where they sold their property and brought it to the church? A lot of people believe that what they were doing is they were remembering what Jesus talked about and was getting rid of their property because they knew they were going to lose it anyways. So they were selling it and bring it to the church. They were preparing for the storm coming. Hallelujah. Provision. And then I said afterwards, I said protection. Amen. You want to have protection in the storm. We talked about it. Jade read it. The song we sang. And that's a wonderful song. And it's absolutely true. But it's not just true on Sunday morning when we sing the song. And that song, singing it, is not enough to make it become true. That's just a song that we sang. Yes, we can make a confession. I think Mark said it. Confess that. Yes, it's absolutely true. But it doesn't just happen automatically. There's something that happens in the preparation time that makes it so that when we say this, we say it in faith, believing it, not just singing it. We're living in it. We're living in it. You're living in that before the storm hits. Hallelujah. So, praise God. If there is an impending storm coming in everybody's life, and I'm talking about in the Northeast, yes. In America, yes. To think, let me read something to you. I was just going to say it, but it was interesting as I was preparing for this. I was looking up something. How many know Joel Rosenberg? Know Joel Rosenberg? Only one person? Two people? Three? All right, a few people know. Joel Rosenberg is an author. He's almost like a prophet. He's prophetic in his writings. He writes novels, but when he writes them, he's usually ahead of the curve of what's coming. And it's amazing some of the novels he's written. An excellent writer. He used to live here in America. God told him to move him and his family to Israel. And they all moved back to Israel. He's there now. But he is, he's really a messianic Jew who loves Jesus, who loves Israel, loves the Jewish people, but really has an insight. And God, I believe with all my heart, God speaks to him as he's writing these things. And he says it, that it's not just God. He does a lot of research. So, but I want to read something. I just got this yesterday. And I'm not going to read the whole thing. So give me. And he titled it, "What in the World is Going On?" He said, "Hurricane Harvey drops 33 trillion gallons of rainfall drop on the U.S. Experts say the floods are once in 1,000 years events. Now, Hurricane Irma is bearing down on Florida. At the same time, Mexico experiences the worst earthquake in a century. Record-breaking floods are devastating Asia." He said, "Half of Bangladesh is underwater. 100,000 homes are destroyed. 40 million people face severe and potentially life-threatening food and water shortages. Russia is preparing to mass upwards of 100,000 troops on borders of three NATO countries for a massive series of war games. Some fear is the prelude to war. The genocidal slaughter continues in Syria. Terror attacks around the globe. North Korea threatens to nuke the United States, then test a hydrogen bomb and long-range ballistic missiles. And tensions over the Temple Mount in Jerusalem spike and then settle, then spike again." So, he's saying, what do you think's going on? Is this just, and this is what goes on, is that we are so accustomed to hearing these things, or because we don't want to know, we turn it off. I don't want to be down. There's a downer. I don't want to listen to that stuff. So we don't see and experience and really look at the prophetic significance of what's going on in the world today. We're coming to a time. Praise God that we're out of here. Praise God if God, you know, brings the rapture. We're gone. Or is God trying to get us to do something here? Is God trying to wake us up? Is God trying to, you know, alert us to something coming? Is this guy in North Korea, is this somebody we can ignore and just, he's just crazy, he's just nuts? And often it says that God raised up people to bring correction to Israel, other nations. Smaller, less stronger than them, but I don't know. And I'm not trying to sit here and say to you, be afraid. I don't want you afraid. People who are afraid don't do anything. And if they do something, usually they do it wrong. When you're afraid, you will look for anything to grab a hold of and do, even if it brings you to a worse place in your life. But when you're living by faith, you know where your source of strength, of protection, of provision. You're ready. You've prepared for the coming storm. That's what we're trying to produce here. People of faith. Ready. Prepared. Not caught unawares. Not allowing the enemy to come in and just destroy our lives. Because this is not God doing these things, by the way. Let me clarify that. But God allows things in our lives to bring correction to us to get us back into alignment with his perfect will. Now we can ignore all that. We can say 60 million, I think it is now, around 60 million babies have been aborted in the world, in the United States alone, I should say. And God's going to not care about that. God doesn't care whether 60 million babies, innocent blood is shed. I don't know about you, but I think he cares. I don't think God cares. Maybe you say that we turned prayer out of school, because why should our kids learn about Jesus and God? There was just an article where I just read it, I think a week or so ago, where it talked about taking the Ten Commandments out because the children will see them And if they see them, they might be convicted to do something about it. To live their life in a more harmonious way with the Ten Commandments. Well, that's a horrible thought. So we got to get them out of the school so we don't infect our children with the Word of God. That's what this nation is doing. Then we're turning around and say, well, you know, homosexuality isn't a bad thing. I just read an article yesterday from a church. A big church, a large church. Well, you've got to be careful the way you talk about it. Because we don't want to offend them. I don't want to offend them with calling them names and telling them they're in sin. They already know that, my friends. But I can tell them the truth about the gospel of Jesus Christ who can set them free from it. But they got to be careful the way you bring that forth. You got to be gentle and kind. Just like they were when they hung Jesus on the cross. Gentle and kind. All these things that we're asking, you know, the world and the United States to change and to accept, it's all anti-Christ. Why should we not know that something is coming, but the church is saying, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible told me so. Yes, he loves you. He loves everybody. He is love, by the way. But he also loves you enough to die for your sin. So what we need to do is to recognize the truth. 2 Chronicles 7:14, what did he say? Remember, we just went over this. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, everybody should know that scripture by heart. Everybody. And then not only know by heart, let that change your heart to humble yourself before God. To come before him in prayer and supplication. Repent of your sin and mine. I do it on a daily basis. Sometimes hourly. Sometimes minute by minute. That's just the truth. But my God supplies all my needs. And he did it through his son at the cross at Calvary. Amen? All right. So, if the storm is coming, we see the blessings of God has been poured out on this nation for years and years and years. But those have received much, much of them is required. Because this nation is a blessed nation, has been a blessed nation, yes, we did. We probably sent more of the gospel around the world than any other nation. Except one. Israel. Because that's where it came out of. Because if they didn't, we didn't. Amen? Yes, we've done wonderful things. We've helped people around the world. We've been a stalwart friend of Israel. And prayerfully, God willing, we continue to be for at least as the next 8 years, hopefully, prayerfully, that nothing changes in that fashion. And because we have been there for them, I believe God has been there for us. I really believe that with all my heart. But that means what we've seen in the last few years, things have changed in America. We're not the same. We're not the same America that when I was born. You figure it out. I'm not telling you. We all know, I know. Things have changed. It's not getting better yet. Will it? I don't know. But it's not. So America needs to be prepared. The church needs to be prepared. The body of Christ has to be ready for the storms that are coming, whatever they happen to be. Jesus said in Matthew 16, if you go there with me quick, hallelujah. I'm going to start in verse 1. Then the Pharisees and Sadducees came, asking him, asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, "When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times." We need to be able to see what's going on and have an understanding there's something not right here. They called the storm Harvey there a 1,000-year storm. In other words, it won't happen again like that for 1,000 years. Maybe so. I don't know. But we look to California and we see the fires burning. Matter of fact, did you hear the latest? One of our illustrious movie stars has proclaimed that Harvey came in because Mother Nature is mad because President Trump denies climate change. And so Mother Nature, for all those who love Jennifer Lawrence, it was her. You go see her movies, you give her the money to continue with this nonsense. But she said it was Mother Nature is angry because President Trump denies climate change. So they dumped $33 trillion. Well, I don't know who Mother Nature is, but we ought to deal with her if we got to deal with anybody. Because she's the baddie. But see, that's the world who denies the one true God, who denies the glorious Jesus Christ. They deny him, so they have to find something else. It can't be us, obviously. It has to be the fact that somebody doesn't agree with them. So as far as I'm concerned, Jennifer Lawrence must be the problem. All right. So we have to look at the times. We got to see what's going on around us. And we can't be deniers. Don't be deniers of it. Don't ignore it. Don't pretend it's not something isn't coming. Don't get all hyper about it. But don't just ignore it. Don't put it on the back burner. I don't know about you, but when that hit Texas, like I said earlier, a lot of people didn't have flood insurance because they weren't in a flood zone. But they lost their whole house. It's gone. And they don't have insurance to cover it. Well, I'm going to tell you what. God has given us insurance. It's called assurance. And when you have assurance, God will take care of you. You understand? I thought that was cute, but I guess not. Okay. Go with me into Matthew chapter 11, please. I want to show you something. In 2 Peter, well, stay there. Keep your finger there. I'm going to go over here real quick. Hallelujah. Come on, you. Where are you? Come in out of there. We'll get it. Don't go away. Don't leave. 2 Peter. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminders, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Peter was reminding them that you're going to have people, when they hear something like this, are going to laugh at you. They're going to scoff at you. They're going to make fun of you. Who do you think you are? What makes you think Jesus come back for the church? That's what he was talking about. But it's not only that. Before the times of his coming, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be earthquakes in various places. There's going to be famines. There's going to be death. There's going to be destruction. Matthew 24, he warns us about these things coming. Don't be one of those that sit there, well, we've been hearing all this for how long and nothing's happened, when all of a sudden you wake up one morning and find out the storm's right over the top of your house. And you wonder, what happened? Nobody told me about it. He's been telling you for ages, get ready. Don't ignore it. Don't pretend it's not real. Again, I warn you, I tell you, do not be fearful, but be faithful. Be faithful with the word, what God tells you. Because God will not lie to you. God does not send warnings and not fulfill the warnings. He went to Nineveh and he told Jonah, go tell Nineveh that they're going to be in trouble pretty soon if they don't repent. Nineveh was an ungodly place, but the man and head of Nineveh was smart enough to know that if God said it's coming, we better do what he tells us to do. And it said they repented, which Jonah was mad about anyways. He wanted them to get smacked, but they repented and God relented and didn't bring it. But later on, Nineveh got slammed because they did not continue with God. They went back to their old ways. Don't go back to your old ways. Just because it doesn't happen the moment somebody says something to you doesn't mean it isn't coming. Hallelujah. Okay, back to Matthew 11. Jesus was speaking and he was trying to explain to the people that there's coming, some bad things are coming down the pike. Look at verse 20. He had been talking about what was coming, and he talked about the prophets of old, and he talked about John being Elijah, and so on and so forth. And then he says in verse 20, then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works have been done, because they did not repent. Now, if he rebuked the cities where he went and healed some people, and they saw the miracles, they saw God, what God can do, what do you think he would say to America today? They saw more. America has saw more of its share of miracles and signs and wonders than almost any other nation in the world except out of Israel. There has been times when they had great men of God and women of God, Catherine Coleman, Jack Cole, people who had these thousands would come in and people would be healed of everything. People be raised from the dead. There was miracles on top of miracles Jesus performed in this nation. It rose it up from a nothing and destroyed the most powerful army in the world when they defeated England from a ragtag bunch of nobodies. Miracle after miracle we have seen for this nation. What do you think Jesus would say to this nation today? Hallelujah. He said, woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Zidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. There are now nations in Africa right now are more godly than America. And that's the truth. They're seeing more signs and wonders and miracles in the church in China than you are in the church in America. Right now. The greatest growth in the church today, believe it or not, are coming out of the Middle East. Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan. The church is growing mighty. You don't hear about it, but it's happening. What's wrong with America? What happened to us? Look around. What happened to us? Whoa. Whoa. You don't think our Lord loves us enough to chastise the church? Remember what he said. I want to say something, but I don't want it to go over the air, so I'll save it till later. He said, correction begins in the household of God. He's not correcting the world first. He's correcting the church first. Because until the church has it right, it can't be the light and the salt that the world needs. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable in Tyre and Zidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. Remember what the Sodom and Gomorrah was all about. Rejection of God and the worship of sexual immorality. Do you think that's America today? Everything you see on TV, in the movies, is sexualized. Everything. Our kids on the internet. Everything. Hallelujah. We're forecasting the impending storm. We're talking about the signs that we can see. If our eyes are open, if we are watching, and that's what the word tells us to do, watch and pray, that you'll escape the wrath to come and stand before the Son of Man. We are called to be watchers. We're supposed to be observers of what's going on. We're not just supposed to sit there and complain about it, but we need to do what God tells us to do about it. Walking the streets with signs won't change a thing. Warning people of the impending doom won't change a thing because they're not going to listen. Matter of fact, if you can't get the church to listen, how can you get the world to listen? But he's called us. He's warning us. He's telling us. We talked about Matthew 24. Look at it. Read it. See if it doesn't line up with what's going on in the world today. It's becoming more and more real to what he said there. Not less. I believe God has been speaking to us through... I was reading an article by David Wilkerson. If you remember David, he was the head of the church in New York City. He's home with the Lord now. I remember one time when he was talking, he said God told him to make a bunch of sandwiches. Like they made over 2,000 sandwiches or so. He didn't know why he was making them. Then 9/11 happened, and they fed all the first responders and people. He sent warning after warning out, telling the people, get ready. He said, God, back in 1997, or 90s anyways, I'm saying 97, but in the 90s, he warned the people. He said God showed him fires in New York City, all over New York City. I believe he was a man of God. I believe he was a prophet of God. And I believe God spoke to him. And some people said, well, some of the stuff he said didn't come to pass. Not yet. Doesn't mean it won't. And I'm not saying he was somebody special. I'm saying that he had someone who had the ear of God, was willing to listen to God, and then with boldness proclaim what God was speaking, even when it was to his detriment, even when he was rejected by people who proclaimed how wonderful he was, then all of a sudden started tearing apart. I want you to remind you of something, and we said this before, and I think even at the beginning when Jade spoke these things in the song we sang, they are real. You understand that? For those who have prepared, had listened to the warnings for the storm coming, God is their very present help in time of need. He is, He is, He is. But only for those who are standing on the rock. You understand that? We're going to look at what it means to stand on the rock. We're not just going to talk about it. We're going to look at what it means. Because then you will know if you're standing on the rock. Let me just give you one quick way of telling. Because sometimes you think you are. Let me ask you a question. Have you been standing on the rock and something came along that disturbed you, and all of a sudden you got so angry, you started screaming and yelling, complaining and murmuring. You started running in fear. You started yelling and saying, what's wrong? What's going on? Or have you stood there at peace and say, my Lord supplies all my needs. I'm at peace in this. Well, if you're standing on a rock, you're saying, I'm at peace in this. If you're on the sand that sifts, maybe you're not standing on the rock. Or maybe you got one foot on the rock and one on the sand. And you're double-minded and you just get pulled one way and the other next to me. Glory to God. You still love me? Hallelujah. All right. So I think without a doubt, matter of fact, I could probably say this with quite certainty, that I am proclaiming that a storm is coming, and I'll bet you I'll be 100% accurate. I'm not a weatherman. And the weathermen do the best they can. They really do with what they've got. But see, I got God. I've got the Holy Spirit. I've got the Word of God. Not one of them have been proven to be wrong. So I am predicting and I am proclaiming that a storm's coming. There you go. Yeah, but you didn't tell me what kind of storm. You didn't ask. Amen? So get ready. Storm prediction has already been made. Storm's coming. All right. How much time we got left here? What time is it? No, that's just a little. All right. I don't think I'll get very far with this, but I'm going to set it. Probably have to get into it next week. Go with me into Matthew 7. Where are we going now? We went from the prediction to preparation. We want preparation for the storm that's coming. If there's a storm coming, and I proclaimed it is. There it is. Storm's coming. Everybody happy? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go with me into Matthew 7. Did I tell you to go there? Hallelujah. Let's start in 15. I wasn't even going to go near that, but I think it might be good for this. Beware of false prophet who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into a fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. That's why he told us, know those who labor amongst you. Don't know them by what you read. Don't know them by what they say, because they say just what you want to hear. But know them, because you have to know them. I'm not saying that you're going to find perfection in them, but you're going to know the truth, because you're going to watch their lives and see how they live. Not in front of a camera, not in front of a church, but you're going to see them in an everyday life, how they interact with the other people, how they talk, how they walk, what they do. I always wonder about shepherds who live in gated communities, keep the sheep out. But the true shepherd sleeps with the sheep. A hireling always makes sure that they're separated from the sheep, because they don't want the smell on them. Just got into that for whatever reason. You understand what I'm saying to you? A good shepherd will carry a herding sheep. A hireling always gives a herding sheep to someone else to carry. I love the Lord. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Always remember that, please. Always remember that. Those who do the will of my Father. Amen. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I'll liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teachings, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. What we are talking about now is storm preparation. How to prepare for the coming storm. He started this in verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. not just hearers, but doers. Of what? Of what Pastor Dave said? Of what somebody else said? Of what my husband, my wife, my children, my father, my boss, whatever? Whatever they say is what I've got to do? They're going to run when the storm comes. You understand what I'm saying to you? Listen, I love my wife. But if the storm is coming and there's going to be 8 foot of water, and I live in a house that's 8 foot high, and I know that house is going to be filled with water, and I say to my wife, come on, let's get out of here. She goes, no, I'm going to sit here. No, I'm going. Come on, it's going to, come on, it's going to be, no, I'm staying here. I'm leaving. You understand? I don't prove my love for my wife by just standing there dying with her. Now, if she can't get out of the bed, if she can't get there, she can't move, I'll carry her. But if she's unwilling, much as I love her, I'll take her picture with me. But I'm out of there. Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen, if the rapture happens, I'm not staying behind if she doesn't want to go. I'm out of here. Right? Come on. That didn't mean that I don't love her. My goal is to help prepare her for the storm coming. Her goal, hopefully, is to help prepare me for the storm coming, and the two of us are prepared. I was listening to one coming up out of the one now, Irma, there, and they were talking to this man. And he said, are you leaving? Mandatory evacuation. No, I'm not. I'm staying home. Really? Did you hear what's coming? You hear all this? Yeah. But he said, I have prepared my house. It's a Category 5 house. I built it to withstand this strong storm. I thought to myself, that's a wise man. He built it for the strongest storm known. The storm is coming. Don't be foolish. Be wise. Build it, and listen to me. You build your house to withstand the worst storm coming. Not the least. When winter comes, you put antifreeze in your radiator if it's not already up to snuff, right? And that antifreeze is for around 30 degrees below zero. Did you ever have 30 degrees below zero here? No, not very often. Not very often. Not very often. Not very often. Well, I remember when I was up in Tupper Lake working, I went out in the morning to get in the car. It was minus 40 degrees. The night before, I took an electric dipstick, a dipstick that you plug into electricity, and put it in my oil in the car. Because if I didn't, I wouldn't get started in the morning. I was preparing. God has showed us how to prepare for the worst of the worst of storms coming. And when that happens, you are prepared. You never worry about what's coming. Because you're ready. That's what we're going to look at next week. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. The storm's coming, but we're going to be ready. We might be all, some of you guys are already ready. Amen. Some of you are already ready. But this is just a reminder. Maybe you've been letting something slip a little bit, or you're not. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you this morning for your blessing. The knowledge that, Lord, there are storms. We have heard the warnings. We have heard and seen the signs of the times. And we are getting ready, Father, that we're not caught unawares, that we're not caught sleeping, but we're ready and prepared for the time of the coming storm. Father, we want to pray a blessing on all those in Texas and Louisiana and all surrounding states, Father, in Florida and wherever. We pray, Father God, that out of this misery, out of this terrible time, out of this loss of life and property and peace, Father, that you reveal yourself as the Prince of Peace, as the Comforter, as one who is there waiting for his children to cry out to them in their need, in their time of battles and storms. Help them never forget, Lord God, that you haven't left them, you have not forsaken them. You haven't done anything like this to punish them. But you have always left your hand out waiting for them to cry out to you. Save us, Jesus. Save us. We thank you, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Okay. We'll take up our offering. Then Diane's got a few announcements. Correct?